hardcore legend and WWE Hall of Famer Mick Foley, and you are listening to My 1-2-3 Sets, the podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, Kevin here with episode number 28 of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. Thanks so much for hitting that download button and tuning in and hopefully sharing this experience with your friends and family and whoever else might be interested in learning more about the world of professional wrestling, although I'm not sure how much you're going to actually learn. It's just me kind of blathering on, and that's exactly what's going to be happening this week, so don't stop listening just yet. I do want to thank Greg Mahochko over at the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. You can find that at jitterymonkey.com. All kinds of great shows on the network, including Nerds United, which is the show that Greg hosts and puts together a lot of fun interviews and analysis of comic books and comic book-related movies and TV shows. So be sure to check that out, not only on jitterymonkey.com, but we're also now on iTunes. Of course, we have been for quite some time. Stitcher.com, as well as a new website called poddirectory.com, or at least it's new to us. We just learned about this last week, so be sure to check out the many great shows on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, and also be sure to click on those Amazon links. Father's Day, of course, is right around the corner, so if you need to do some shopping for Dad, I invite you to head to my123cents.com, click on the sponsored button, and click on the Amazon link there and just do your shopping that way. It's no extra charge to you, and Amazon takes care of the rest. A lot going on in the world of professional wrestling, a lot going on in my own world as well, and that is part of the reason why this show is going to be shorter than usual, and also no guests this week. I last week, episode 27, the WWE Hall of Famer, the New York Times bestselling author, Mick Foley, was here. If you haven't listened to that show yet, I encourage you to go check that out. Mick is going to be in South Bend, Indiana at the South Bend Cubs baseball stadium on Father's Day, and that's kind of how I got this whole gig set up with him. A friend of mine works for the South Bend Cubs and hooked me up with Mick, but Mick talks about a lot of other things during the course of that interview, not just promoting that appearance, and of course, June 7th, Mick Foley turned 50, so happy birthday, congratulations to Mick Foley, 50 years on this earth, and I do appreciate him taking the time last week again to talk to us again. That's episode 28, if you want to check that out. Some other things going on in the world of professional wrestling. I'm going to talk mostly about Money in the Bank, and I'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. And the reason, part of the reason why I don't have a guest this week is I didn't realize it was Money in the Bank coming up, and I've been working on some side projects, not just with work, but kind of doing some freelancing endeavors, and I just really, this past week has been kind of crazy. The kids are on summer break, and it's just, you know, baseball practices and football practices and everything that's kind of come up. So again, sorry for the excuses. We'll get back on track for next week for sure, and I'll either have Chad on or I'll have a guest of some kind. I do have some feelers out there for some guests that will be of national wrestling interest. So be sure to stay tuned for those updates on my Twitter or on the my123cents.com page, or also over at facebook.com/my123cents. But I want to talk briefly about some things coming up here down the pike. Chikara Pro, which if you listen to the show on a regular basis, you know that Chad and I are fans of Chikara Pro, and they're going to be in Chicago area. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make it up for that event, but they're also on Sunday, June 14th, later this week, actually. They're going to be in Indianapolis, Indiana, and that show is called Shock and Awe, and tickets are still available as of this recording. I just checked their website, and they do have tickets that are still available, and you can go to chikarapro.com to see the lineup and to order your tickets. And if you're in the Indianapolis area or within driving distance of Indy, I would highly encourage you to check it out. About 3 years ago, we made a road trip to Lafayette, Indiana, which I actually used to work in Lafayette, and we saw Chikara Pro there as well as in Chicago. So it was a fun Indie Wrestling Weekend, as ROH was also a part of that event. So chikarapro.com, or you can follow them at chikarapro on Twitter, and it's a fun, entertaining alternative to what your current main wrestling roster looks like. It's a lot of fun, and you know, again, I would highly recommend you checking it out. Also, one other side note about TNA, and again, I remind you that I don't get Destination America, so I don't get to watch on a weekly basis, but I do sometimes catch some of the highlights and some of the clips, and there was a lot of talk, a lot of buzz on social media last week about the Mickie James, James Storm segment. Some people calling it controversial, some people hating on it. To me, you know, it is what it is. It's professional wrestling. It's sometimes there's some, you know, stinker segments in there, some bad acting that goes along with it. However you want to characterize it or now analyze it, wrap it up. For those who didn't see it, James Storm had invited Mickey under the premise that he was going to get her hooked up with some music deals, I guess. Excuse me. And it turns out that it was just all a push to get Mickey to join the Revolution. She rejected the offer, and as James is walking her at the train station, he knocks her off the platform, and she falls, and you don't know exactly how far she falls. Now, he says something at the end like, ooh, that's a long way down. And the way he said it kind of implied to me that they were writing off the Mickie James character, and I think a lot of people thought that, but then TNA issued a statement saying that she suffered some injuries and that they've reached out to her, that, you know, basically clarifying that the character has not been killed off. I don't know if that was their original intent or if, you know, the backlash that it received, that people were kind of complaining about it. I don't know. I didn't think it was a horrible segment. I don't understand why people get all worked up about it. It is wrestling. Sometimes there is some silliness that goes along with it. I don't see it being any different than when Stone Cold Steve Austin was hit by the mysterious car driver who ended up being Rikishi, or when the Humvee limo incident with WCW. I think Kevin Nash and Macho Man Randy Savage were involved with that. There's always been, you know, they try to heighten the drama somehow with these kind of real world, real life scenarios. I look at it, at, you know, along those lines. Speaking of real world, real life scenarios, Tyson Kidd has been injured against Samoa Joe at the, I guess they said it was for a non-televised match, and I thought it was for Superstars, but I don't know. I'm going by what WWE says. They have acknowledged it on their website. Some reports saying he suffered, that Kidd suffered some sort of spinal injury and that he will continue to be evaluated. I certainly hope it is not anything severe or too serious. I feel like he and Cesaro are a great unit, a great tag team. Of course, Natalya being a part of that mix as well. So we certainly wish Tyson Kidd nothing but the best and a speedy recovery. And hopefully, again, it is nothing too serious or too severe. WWE is heading to Japan for the July 4th weekend, and there had been initial reports from Chris Jericho himself on his podcast that he would be facing Finn Balor at those shows, but apparently WWE coming out now saying that Kevin Owens will be defending the NXT Championship against Balor And they're going to be airing that live on the WWE Network, which is going to be exciting. They're calling it a super card, not saying exactly what other matches have been announced, but Brock Lesnar, I know, is listed as being there as well as John Cena and Chris Jericho. So it'll be interesting to see what all they put together for a lineup for that night. It says that they will be live from Tokyo's Sumo Hall on WWE Network, featuring John Cena, Brock Lesnar, Chris Jericho, and more. So the only confirmed match right now is Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens. And it'll be, I'm a big fan of both Owens and Balor, so it'll be good to see those two guys getting a bit of the spotlight on the WWE Network. And that'll transition us now into the big event coming up on WWE Network later this week on Sunday. It is the Money in the Bank pay-per-view or event or however they're calling it now. I don't know how to always phrase that. Excuse me again. It's an interesting, I don't know. I've talked before on the my123cents.com blog about these specialty pay-per-views, if you will, and I'm not a huge fan of, like, Hell in a Cell and although the Elimination Chamber match, the matches are great themselves. I like the matches. I don't know that I like building a pay-per-view around them. TLC, I guess, would probably be the biggest example of this. I liked it back in the day. I say back in the day, it's only been a few years, but when Money in the Bank was on the WrestleMania card. And this year we had a ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship. Just a couple months before that, we had the TLC pay-per-view. We're getting two ladder matches on this particular Money in the Bank pay-per-view. You know, the ladder match used to be kind of a specialty. And now, you know, this will be one, two, three, four in the last 6 months. You know, does it take away... I'm just counting four that I can think of right off the top of my head. Does that take away the specialness of this match? I certainly think it does. You know, I still like the concept of Money in the Bank. I think it's a good idea. It does give a guy an opportunity that maybe... A creative opportunity, I guess. I still think that the Seth Rollins cash-in at WrestleMania was one of the best cash-ins that they've done, and of course Money in the Bank's been around for several years now, so it's always fun to see the tease leading up to when the cash-in finally happens, and when it does, it's usually a pretty spectacular thing. The match itself has Neville, Sheamus, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, Kane, Dolph Ziggler, and Kofi Kingston. And this, I'm recording this show. It will drop on Monday, a few days before the event. And I'm going by what we have right now on WWE.com's website. There are four matches that I'm going to talk about. So right now, those participants, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them are in. They've all been, with the exception, I believe, of Neville, they've all been in a Money in the Bank. I don't know if Roman Reigns has. I can't remember if he was a part of last year's or not. That's how bad my memory is. A lot of online speculation saying that Reigns is going to win this. I could see that happening. I would like to see somebody who hasn't been champion win. That would make it either Neville, Reigns, or Kofi Kingston. I like Kofi's work right now with New Day. I think that they should keep that faction together. Obviously, they're throwing him in that, I'm assuming, because there's going to be just Xavier Woods and Big E defending the tag team titles, and I think Kofi will obviously be able to do more of the spots with the latter, as well as Neville, which I think will kind of take that Tyson Kidd / Evan Bourne role in the ladder match. I love Neville, as you probably all know from the blogs that I've written and some of the podcasts that we've done. I don't think his time is now, but I do think that he is a superstar in the making for sure. A future world heavyweight champion, perhaps. I just hope that these guys are careful, because whenever you throw the ladder in there, there's so much unpredictability. And I thought the WrestleMania Intercontinental title ladder match was pretty good in terms of keeping guys safe and not a whole lot of crazy spots. There were some, but it wasn't ridiculously crazy. And I think that the crazy stuff is actually going to come with the World Heavyweight title match between Ambrose and Rollins, just because the character that Ambrose has kind of developed into. But I'll get to more on that in a second. I don't hate on Roman Reigns like a lot of folks do. I don't have a problem with him winning. I'd rather see Dolph Ziggler win and kind of get a run as champion, a solid run as champion. I don't think the reality of the situation is that's going to happen. And so for, and I hate going with what the WWE or what the internet wrestling community goes with in terms of picking a winner, because they had Sheamus down to win the Elimination Chamber match for the Intercontinental title a couple weeks ago, and of course Ryback won that. So, but without having a better winner to pick, I am going to also go with Roman Reigns, and it'll be interesting to see if he does win, how they kind of reinvent, maybe not reinvent him, but I do think they need to continue to work with him, so we're not seeing the same old, I guess, with his character that we've seen over the last couple of months. Again, I talked about Rollins and Ambrose. That'll be a good match. I like both of these guys too. It's hard to pick a favorite or pick a winner, but I would love to see Ambrose get a run as the World Heavyweight Champion. I don't think that Rollins has had enough time with the belt yet, so I want to see him have a lengthy stay as champ. So for that reason, I'm going to pick him to win. And of course, I would imagine there'll be some sort of shenanigans going on, whether it's with J&J Security, Triple H, Kane, Big Show. Somebody is going to end up costing Ambrose the match and perhaps leading Ambrose into his next feud. New Day defends against the Primetime Players. Primetime Players have reconnected. They never really explained why they got back together. I'm glad they put them back together. I liked them better when they had Abraham Washington in their corner and were a heel tag team, of course, with Tyson Kidd out for right now for the foreseeable future. And then I think it's Jey Uso who's been injured as well. The tag team scene is in need of some full-time players, so to speak. No pun intended off Primetime Players, but I hope New Day retains. I think that the thing that they've got going right now is great. The fans love to hate them, and I think it's working out. They need to continue to carry that momentum, at least through SummerSlam, in my opinion, and hopefully some of these injured guys will start making their way back, and the tag team scene will continue to be good, because right now it is developing into something that is watchable again as far as tag team wrestling goes. I think that was proven at Elimination Chamber. You had six teams in that matchup, and the potential of another one with the Wyatt family members not being in that. So maybe they'll step in the absence of Kidd and Cesaro, at least for the time being. The other match, probably the one that is very intriguing to me, is the rematch between Kevin Owens and John Cena. Chad actually has a very good blog written up. I gave him grief about it when he first wrote it, but I was yanking his chain, about the logic of Kevin Owens. Why would Kevin Owens want another match with John Cena if it's not for the United States Championship, which as of this recording, it is not. He beat John Cena. What does he have left to prove? So Chad kind of dissects it there on my123cents.com. I think that it will be a good rematch. I think a lot of fans have wanted to see Cena knocked down a couple levels, Kevin Owens elevated a couple of levels, which I think has been accomplished. I don't know that Cena losing, even if he loses again, is going to take away anything from him or tarnish him in any way. Kevin Owens could use the rub, in my opinion, especially if the WWE is going to continue on with the youth movement, and let's face it, they have to continue to thrive and survive. So a lot of times, though, we see these matches end with a rubber match, which, you know, Cena wins this time around, and then we'll get a third match maybe at Battleground, or maybe they save it for SummerSlam, I don't know. But I certainly hope that Owens' streak, if you will, continues, and that he goes over John Cena. And even if they do something schmazzy with it, I wouldn't necessarily hate that. You know, because Bray Wyatt and Rusev, as Chad points out, both tried on the big shows and failed as far as doing what Kevin Owens was able to do. So I certainly hope that they kind of stay behind Kevin Owens and keep him going strong, especially as NXT champion, and he prepares for his matchup with Finn Balor coming up again on July 4th, and then whatever else is down the road for him, whether it's Samoa Joe or a returning Sami Zayn. There's plenty, it seems, that Kevin Owens has kind of gotten his hands into. So, like I said, as of right now, as of this recording and the podcast dropping, only four matches announced. I would anticipate a Divas Championship match of some kind with Nikki Bella defending. And, of course, Ryback hopefully will defend the Intercontinental Championship against somebody, whether it's Bray Wyatt or someone else. Time will tell. Hopefully, again, that's down the road as well. But in the meantime, I invite you to head on over to facebook.com/my123cents. Click the like button on that and be sure to follow us on Twitter as well. Everyone, thanks so much for listening and sharing My 123 Cents, the podcast.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.